Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura with my sister-in-law, Emily, here.
Hey.
And let's see, today we just want to invite all of you guys to check out our resources page. We talked about this a little bit on the last show, but essentially the resources page there that we have is a bunch of books, music, Bible study tools. I can't think of anything else, but there's a lot of really cool stuff over there that Emily and I and the rest of the Risen Motherhood team has curated, all to help equip you in gospel-centered motherhood. Something that Emily and I say on the show a lot is that we do not know everything, that we have learned a lot from wise people, authors, wise women in our lives, people who have developed amazing products. We've learned a lot from them. And so we want to share those resources with you to help equip you. And because today's show is all about self-care, maybe a piece of that puzzle for you will be reading a new book or finding a way to set up some new tools in your quiet time. So we thought that might be a nice piece to point you towards risenmotherhood.com/resources, or you can find that link all over our social media pages and very easily from the home base of risenmotherhood.com. So we just want to encourage you to go over there and check that out.
Yes. And as Laura said, we are talking about self-care, which this is actually kind of a 2.0 episode for us, because if you dig way, way deep into our archives, this was, I think, the second show we ever released was about self-care. I literally don't even know what we said. I'm not encouraging you to listen to it. I'm just saying that it's there. We've grown a lot since that time. But we wanted to talk about this again because it is something that comes up over and over and over for us in motherhood, us personally and for all moms, because we're exhausted. No matter how many children you have, you're tired and you're like, I don't know how to function and I don't know how to balance like my need for basic things like sleep and, you know, mental processing time with all the things that my children and my family need.
Yeah, exactly. I think that I tend to be on the side of, you know, go, 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 never stopping, very little self-care, and kind of living like I don't have any limits. And I know that that's something that this year God has really been teaching me, as I feel like he has just piled on many, many, many things where I've been forced to stop and say, I need help. I can't do this. And I'm really thankful for that lesson, and I'm excited to kind of talk about it more today.
Yeah. And I think it's been really interesting. So Laura added a child this year and we added our fifth child. And I keep thinking I'm going to like understand this balance a little bit better, but it's still so hard. Every time I think there's nothing left to give, there is more to give and lay down for the sake of caring for others. But this time around too, I've also just been faced with my own limitations, like Laura said, and just in awe of the fact that I cannot just go and do everything forever. I need to also rest in Christ. And I need sometimes practical things to help me serve and love others better. And so we're going to try to talk about that a little bit today. And we totally get that it feels selfish to take time for yourself. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I think that's one of the hardest pieces, is that I just feel so selfish whenever I do take time away, because I see the to-do list. I see the needs of the family. I see my own needs that are outside of kind of that self-care piece. And so let's walk through the gospel. And I think that we can find a nice balance in this, because I think a lot of people can sway into two different ditches. But, you know, if we look at creation, risen motherhood, here we go. I feel like this is the new year. We're back into walking through the gospel. So with creation, we can see that God created Adam and Eve, and he provided everything that they needed. They had very purposeful work to do. They were to rule over creation, subdue the earth, bring order to the chaos, be fruitful and multiply. So they had purpose and they had work that they were supposed to do. And they also trusted God to care for them. They trusted him to provide everything that they needed. And they didn't need extra self-care, or they didn't have to carve away time for self-care. God was there caring for them. He walked and talked with them. And he even, I like that you can look at creation and see how God has self-care in a way where he took a day of rest. He took a break and he doesn't even need to. So that's just a really neat piece that we can see that rest is a gift from God. And it reminds us that we are human and that we serve a gracious and generous God that provides for all of our needs.
Yeah. And then when we look at the fall, of course, we see that Adam and Eve, unfortunately, were not fully satisfied in everything that God created, and they disobeyed him by trying to seek just fulfillment outside of what he had provided. And they, when they did that, sin entered the world. And now, kind of in a post-sin world, we know that our bodies get physically sick and worn down. Our bodies die. They lose energy and strength. Our minds cannot handle everything. We have mental health issues. There are things like anxiety and depression and chronic stress that impact all different types of people. We get overwhelmed easily. We are limited. And just in general, I think that there are now, I think, a couple of camps that we can kind of fall into, or ditches, if you want to use that term. And one is that I think we're tempted to think that we're unlimited as God is unlimited. So like, I'm never going to take a break. I can always just forego more sleep. I can, you know, I don't need reasonable refreshment or physical nourishment or healthy habits or community or spiritual disciplines. Like, I can just do it all if I just try harder. And that is one error that we fall into.
Right. And the other side of that, the ditch or camp that Emily was saying, we start to abuse the gift of rest and self-care. So we can escape through it. We kind of say like, oh, there's just too much to do. I'm so overwhelmed that God has asked me to take care of all these things. So instead of going to Christ and relying on his strength, we basically just shut down and we start thinking, I just need a little bit more sleep, a little bit more TV, a little bit more exercise, more hobbies, more time with my friends. I just want to be really, really, really comfortable in my life. Then I'll be happier. If I can just find this X factor piece, I'm going to be happier. Instead of relying on Christ to be our strength. So we start running to all the wrong places.
Yeah. So we know in redemption that Jesus struck this balance perfectly in a way that we should emulate. Instead of staying comfy in heaven with God, where, you know, he had all these things, he loved us so much that he came to earth and he laid down the pleasures of heaven for the sake of loving us and dwelling with us. And he experienced all of these types of human stressors and discomforts that we experience. But we also know that he took appropriate time to rest, to care for the needs that he had in a physical body. He ate food. He slept, even when it seemed crazy to others. He took time away to be alone with God. He stopped and lingered over the teaching of scripture. He did skilled work that we assume he really enjoyed doing. He lived in a community of people. So again, Jesus, he lived as a human and he did take appropriate self-care, but we also know there were times when he went without food. There were times when he stayed awake later than he probably felt like. He was probably tired because he wanted to minister to others. There was times when he prayed when other people were sleeping, when he allowed himself to be swarmed with just like these needy people, when he probably just wanted to be alone. And so we also know that he lays down his will in every circumstance in order to do the Father's will. And so that is an example for us.
Exactly. So we know that because of Christ's death and resurrection, we are now able to serve Christ and his purposes, that our lives are no longer our own, but we belong to God. And so we no longer need to look out for our own comforts or act like we're totally limitless and can do anything that we want, but instead that we're able to emulate the life and work of Jesus Christ, spreading the gospel and have an opportunity to love others through it. So in this restoration piece, you know, I think that we can be reminded that we live in this tension of the already, but not yet. We want to be able to do these things and emulate the life of Christ, but at the same time, we're living in these broken bodies that we were talking about in the fall. And We have limits. We have true and real needs. So in this tension, we can recognize that these needs are what makes us human, but they also remind us that we can take on this good gift from God for rest. And so we rest in Christ, and it's really a state of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And that's the big piece at this point, is that we can rest in the future hope of knowing that one day we will live with Christ. We also can know that we have the Holy Spirit. We have the promise of Him today and the ability to serve other people through power that is not our own. I think something that has been really challenging to me in 1 Peter 3, the whole imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. For me as an extrovert, I used to feel like that meant I needed to be really quiet and I needed to not laugh so loudly or things like that. But really, it's speaking to the state of your heart. And it's about, are you finding your peace and your rest and your hope in God to sustain you and all that you need, not in your God-given personality and changing that and morphing it, but really it's all about resting in the peace that God provides and knowing that He is your ultimate sustainer and that He will get you through each day with the things that you need to get done. And He is going to provide the rest that you do need.
Yes. So of course, this applies differently in many, many different situations. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different challenges and I think different temptations, like Laura was alluding to. I think sometimes our personality can cause us to kind of bend one way or the other, or maybe be, again, too reliant on, oh, I can't give up this comfort, or, oh, I'm going to go, 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 and I'm never, ever going to enjoy the good gift of physical rest that God gave. So we just wanted to share some principles we can remember and think about as we are processing what we should do with self-care. And the first thing we already mentioned, but it's worth saying again, like weaknesses and limitations are part of our humanness, and rest is a good gift from God. And so I always have to remember this. God does not rely on me to keep the entire world running, like, or my entire family running. He is in control and He owns everything and is able to supply any need. And so to think that it all relies upon me is a really wrong, warped view.
Well, yeah. And I think that something that the Lord has really taught me this year, as I was sharing a little bit of being pushed down to my knees and basically saying, I cannot do all of this, is that when we recognize our limits and our humanness, that ultimately provides an opportunity for other people to help and to serve us. And that is a gift. I think for the first time in my life, I really saw, like, oh, this is amazing to receive help. And I think in the past, I had always felt so equipped for, you know, whatever the day to day brought, that when I finally reached my limit and people were like, let me bring you meals, or let me just take your kids for a couple hours, I was finally like, yes, this is a huge gift. Thank you so much. And it's a gift to those people too, who are serving. It's a blessing for them to be able to help you. I know you guys have probably heard that before, but it is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think even for your husband or your family members or your friends from church to come alongside you, it is a very difficult thing to receive help sometimes,
yeah,
but
it is
a good gift from God. And that's why we live in community. The second principle we just wanted to bring to the table is that we have to submit ourselves to Christ and know that a life following Him is going to require sacrifice and it's going to make us uncomfortable. It's right there in scripture. I can't remember the verse right off the top of my head, but it's something about, like, if you desire to follow Christ, you will suffer.
No, it's true. I mean, what do we think about as moms? Our kids wake up in the middle of the night. They're puking in the car. That recently happened to me. A huge sickness hit the car. We feel like we're constantly running late because there are all these little needs that we're having to take care of. And I know that it can just feel like there's constantly not only little things that are coming our ways, but also big trials that make our lives uncomfortable or difficult. But we also know, as Emily said, as a believer, like, it's a costly life. So if you're a mom, loving your children, passing along the gospel to them, doing ministry for others, it's very costly. And that might mean giving up temporal things for eternal gain. We don't know what that exact balance is that Emily and I keep talking about, this big pendulum swing that's happening. We don't know what that exact balance is for you, But that is why we want to know scripture and walk in the light of Christ.
And then the third thing that we just wanted to bring to the table again is that true rest and self-care is found in Christ alone. And so I think that while there are like physical and practical things we can do for ourselves, which we absolutely should do. So if we can, don't glaze over those. I think there was a time again, after this transition with our fifth child, that I was like, why do I feel so ragged? And a short examination of my life was like, well, there's some really basic things that you need to reinsert into your life. So yes, do those things. But the reality is no self-care time that you've carved away, no Friday night out with your friends, no special date night, no special, you know, 24 hours to yourself or full night of sleep can really like quench that part of you that needs rest and is like emotionally exhausted and stressed out. And I feel like I'm still learning this. It's hard because you think if I just get this thing, I'm going to be rested. But the only thing that fills that is Christ.
That's exactly right. I know there are just like so many times where for nap time, I'm so looking forward to, okay, I can just sit down. Maybe, you know, especially when I was pregnant, I was like, okay, the first half an hour will be a nap. The second half an hour will be TV and snack time. And the third half an hour, I'll maybe get some work done, you know? And that is, I'm like so crazy. I'm living for the nap. I am so excited for the nap. I have it all mapped out. And then what happens? But you know, my 4-year-old's coming downstairs like 10 times and my 2-year-old decides to not nap that day or whatever that may be. And you know, that is where it's like, okay, Lord, all I have is you. I can only trust for you to be my sufficiency, not my nap time. And I know there's a Gloria Fuhrman quote that we put on Instagram a few times. I'm kind of doing it from memory here, but she always talks about like naps are well and good, but if I put my hope in that, like it will fail me. And that is essentially what's happening here is anytime that we start to idolize that self-care, idolize that moment where we feel like I just have to get to bedtime. I just have to get to that play date. Everything will be fine. Then I'll feel so much better. Like that is putting our hope in shifting sands, and we cannot count on anything other than Christ.
Yes. So again, consider your heart. Everything goes back to that. I think we cannot look in from the outside and say, oh, you must be getting too much self-care. It looks like you're going out with your friends a lot more than this other person is. You must be wrongly valuing that. No, we cannot tell from the outside. It's all a matter of the heart and where you're putting your hope and your trust. So a few questions to just leave you guys with today is wondering what areas of life might you be failing to acknowledge your own limitations? Are you thinking that you can literally do everything without taking a break, saying no, or having a rest, and you're just going to be able to keep going? Or are you willing to do less in some areas and trust God that He has other ways of providing for those things?
Right. And on the flip side of that, a good question to ask yourself is what areas are using self-care time as a crutch or really living for self-care? Are you avoiding responsibilities that God has given you as a mom? Are you trying to find some extra ways to squeeze it in where it doesn't really fit? So that's where you can just pray, ask God to strengthen you, and remember where your identity and your eternal reward is found in heaven.
Yes. So definitely get time in the Word of God. That's going to be the most refreshing thing we can do, is to just be connected to the truth of His Word and remember always that God is unchanging. So we hope that we were able to just give you guys a few things to chew on as you are processing through what self-care looks like if you are sometimes exhausted and run ragged like Laura and I are. And you're wondering, how do I experience true and lasting rest? There's definitely some things to consider.
So if you want to check out those resources that we talked about, maybe a great new book might be something that you can do for self-care, head over to risenmotherhood.com. You'll also find all the show notes there where we'll post links and other things about this topic of self-care that we discussed today on the show. And of course, we'll have more on social media as always. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Risen Motherhood. I think that's it. Thanks, guys.